the water closet, the loo, the john, the restroom, the bathroom, the men's room, or the ladies' room. The English-speaking people have invented so many euphemisms to avoid mentioning the word toilet. But guess what? For many people in the world, toilet is not something they can take for granted, and for still many others, the toilet is the place to go to dig a lot of gold, apparently. Oh, there are so many jokes flying in my head, but I'll refrain from saying too much of that. So let's look at this toilet situation. Apparently, there's the World Toilet Day and some surprising findings that come with it. Lai Ming, you being the expert of this topic. Well, I think Tony's also an expert.
You too.
Not as...
I think we're all experts in toilets.
Not as well-researched as you guys.
Or well-experienced. Seasoned.
Well, you guys are a little bit older than I am. Just a little bit. So yes, as a seasoned veteran...
In the business of toilet.
Lai Ming, so what's caught your eye about the World Toilet Day and the surprising findings?
Well, the World Toilet Day falls on November the 19th. It was designated as the World Toilet Day in July 2013, and by the 67th UN General Assembly, and they passed a resolution on that, so that shows how important it is. And as a result, recently we've seen a slew of reports on toilets, one of the most surprising being the revelation that toilet is not to be taken for granted. The World Health Organization estimates only 27% of the world's population has a home toilet that's connected to a sewage system and in turn to a treatment plant. And the United Nations estimates 4.5 billion people live without a safe toilet, and 892 million people still practice open defecation. That means doing their business while unsheltered in street gutters, behind bushes, or into open bodies of water. A Financial Times report says for every 10 people in the world, 3 have neither toilets or latrines.
Mm. Interesting.
Doing the business out in the wild, in the gutters.
Okay. Well, Tony, what do you think?
Well, before having this discussion, I wasn't aware that there was a National Toilet Day. I'm actually very... World Toilet Day,
yeah.
Excuse me.
As sanctified by the United Nations in a resolution.
Well, I feel that having a toilet is... I mean, I have to say my experience going in different countries, like when I was in Japan, I got to experience their style of toilet where apparently you talk to it or you push a certain button and the toilet seat heats up. That was a big surprise for me. And then also there's some water that comes and helps you with the cleaning process as well. So it's so interesting that some certain cultures place a lot of emphasis on a toilet. But it's very important because, I mean, without the proper, toilet in your home, there's a lot of risks that are at stake, especially health. Apart from, inconvenience and dignity, lack of access to toilets can also be potentially harmful to human health and safety. The Gates Foundation says that sanitation-related diseases, including diarrhea, cholera, typhoid, kill nearly 500,000 children under the age of 5 each year. And in some cases, it's also a social problem. If you ask the Beijing residents who live in the Hutongs and have to relieve themselves in public toilets, they have plenty to share about some of their, their neighbors. And I have had this experience when I was in the Hutong area and I would need to relieve myself, and I would go in and there would be toilets that were on the ground, which is a bit different from
squatting toilets.
The squatting toilets, right. And there wouldn't be any stalls where you could, you don't have any privacy. There would be two gentlemen there just doing their thing, and I would walk by, and I felt so uncomfortable because...
This one's taken. Oh, that one's taken.
Right.
Obviously.
So it was just an awkward situation, and it was just like, okay, what do I do here? I think I'll just leave until these guys are done, and then maybe come back when they're finished, and it was just... Yeah, it was so awkward. So it's just a little different, different experience here in the Hutong district.
Yeah. Actually, when I visited the Hutong toilets, I was really surprised by how clean they are in Beijing. And yes, there's not much privacy because, you can pretty much just strike a conversation with whoever's already in there or is coming along the way, you know. And that part,
It's like the well in rural areas where people congregate and share gossips.
The well?
Yeah.
You mean like a water cooler conversation, but in the bathroom?
Yes.
But actually, for me, someone who's born in China, grew up here, I'm seeing mostly progress, and I'm feeling the change in perception towards privacy, but I'm not. It's a mixed feeling, I suppose. So there's part of me that think, oh, back in the day when I was a little girl, I remember we had to share bathrooms even at home. So, like, there were 10 households, 15 households that were sharing this one bathroom. And, there were, like, two squatting toilets for the ladies. I mean, that was just my personal experience.
At least you guys had flushable toilets.
Yeah, but there were squash. That's a good question. I can't remember that part. Anyhow, without going into too much detail, and then we moved into the first apartment of our family, and that's when we had our, like, family home bathroom. And it's so interesting. Back when I was a little girl, I didn't realize that there was this privacy issue because there were no doors, and that was just when you're not introduced with that idea, then you sort of just get on with it. But but now I'm so used to minding my own business,
looking at your own smartphone.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And there's the four walls, or three walls, one door, that's protecting you, so to speak.
Right.
And I love the Japanese experience, actually. I've shared this on the show before, but just please let me say a little bit more about it again. The Japanese toilet culture is a marvel.
It is.
Yeah, there is one button that's called Yinji, so it's like a goddess of music. You press it, there's music coming out, and there's this fragrance goddess. You press that button, when you invite her to come out, it's beautiful. It's like you're doing your business on
a
mountain with there's a concert, and there's flowers blooming next to you, that kind of feeling. And yes, the warm toilet seats, who doesn't love that when it is winter time? And yeah, and there's that French word, I think it's a bidet. Yeah, so basically you're cleaning yourself there too, and how fancy is that with the high-tech twist to it? And now we see this kind of toilets in China as well, because Chinese tourists actually made a reputation for ourselves in Japan by buying up the Japanese toilet seats, and so that becomes something we like very much. Anyhow, so you get that, and it's so surprising that there's different designs and almost signifying different levels and stages of development.
But there are other designs you haven't seen.
Oh, Lai Ming, please chip in. Please chip in.
I believe I had more experience, and I have seen more stages of the revolution of toilets in China. And because I grew up in the village, my parents bought a piece of land, or bought the rights to a piece of land, and built a house in the village. And back then, everybody in the village was using those public latrine toilets. And so it never struck my parents to build a bathroom of our own. So I think up until I was 7 or 8, I had to sort of relieve myself in one of those public latrine toilets, and also in the rural areas. So it was very simple. It was basically a pit.
Okay.
It was a pit, and there are two wooden planks on top of it. And so you walk on the wooden planks, and they shake, and it makes you wonder whether you will fall.
Oh, wow.
And then you have to be very careful. And when you look down, there are stuff down there.
So splash, Lai Ming?
No.
It's making a splash?
No, it's actually very high. It's a very deep pit.
Oh.
So you might be more afraid of the height than of being of the splash, actually.
And also you need to have very sturdy thighs.
Yeah. I would imagine
you look
so.
Down, you see the animate and inanimate materials down there. They are living things. And when you look up, there are spider webs and spiders, huge.
Wow.
And so, and then that was basically what happened, what I had access to up until the age of 7 or 8. at which point my parents thought I was too scared of the spiders in the toilet that they decided to build a bathroom of our own. And then I think in the 2000s, my parents moved into those apartments where we have flushable toilets. Not that we didn't have a flushable toilet of our own back when they built it, but we built it in a sense that was not connected to a sewage system. We built our own septic pit.
Okay.
And then have the waste flooded. Have the wastewater pulled out of the septic pit into just a gutter.
Okay, question. Like now we talk about like green farming so much and the changes in agriculture. sorry for saying this, but doesn't the human waste turn into like fertilizer? Is that how it works in the villages?
Eventually, human waste will turn into fertilizers, but not before it is fermented and processed.
Okay.
If left unprocessed, it is a very huge source of bacteria that could cause all kinds of diseases. Talk about E. coli and also pylori, all kinds of bacteria that could cause very serious diseases in your digestive tract.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that when Bill Gates made his presentation, according to CNN, that he brought a jar of human feces on the stage.
That made headlines.
And he said that the amount can contain as many as, 200 trillion rotavirus cells, whatever that is, and 20 billion Shigella bacteria and 100,000 parasitic worms and eggs. So I think that definitely toilets are huge, and if we have them, it could eliminate some of these issues that we're having with sanitation. And you mentioned that the technique that was necessary when you were growing up, and as a foreigner, I've been struggling with this technique. I grew up with the toilet that you sit on, and I feel like there's a training that needs to take place to use the ones, the squatting toilets.
It's kind of like acrobatics. Just make sure you don't fall. Make sure whatever you have, whatever belongings you have, don't fall. I unfortunately dropped my backpack into the toilet once. And
it's the traditional, like the rural
the train toilet.
Oh, poor Liming.
So it's gone forever then, right? Or did you have to get it out?
I had to get it out because I had textbooks in it.
Yikes.
Luckily for me, the textbooks weren't tainted, although the bags I never used again.
Yeah, well, smart move, Liming. Smart move. And, okay, so we've been talking about the advantages of flushing toilets and even the more advanced type. The singing goddess and the fragrance goddess type. Oh, I love that. But there are some problems with this as well. So, the first one that comes to mind is that with the flush toilets, they apparently can be a major waste of water.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Actually, there are statistics showing that in the U.S., I think water used by toilets accounts for one-third of the water usage in one household. And the toilet is the single most household appliance that consumes the most water in a household. So in order for the modern toilets or reinvented toilets to reach out to, say, many rural areas in western part of China, in India, in other developing countries, it is very important to sort of come up with an innovative idea that could avoid being the use of water and also avoid, whatever possible, the use of electricity. So those fancy toilets that Heyang you've just mentioned, those that come with bidet and also singing tones, those are probably not the kind of toilets you would like to introduce to the developing countries where people still don't have access to any toilet at all.
Yeah, and that is actually a major part of public health and infrastructure that governments need to devote more resources to, and it really helps people out.
And I also think the treatment of the water is very important as well. According to a report by Statistics Market Research Consulting, the global market for water treatment chemicals reached about $30 billion US. and is expected to reach $59 billion U.S. dollars by 2026. So according to a UN report on the water resources, by the year 2050, 6 billion people in the world will live in areas where they experience water shortage. So I believe also, you know, the chemicals that we're putting into our water is also very important, because a lot of times this water either comes back when we're using it, or it goes into the environment, which is also something that we need.
Into the ocean, into the rivers.
Everywhere. Mm. So it's definitely an issue.
Yeah, and when you look at the development of toilets here in China, it's actually a big issue. And the Chinese government has devoted a lot of attention and budget to this, actually. Between 2004 and 2017, the central government has invested 8.4 billion yuan to build or renovate more than 21 million toilets in rural areas, for example. I mean, let's look at the situation, rural versus urban, about toilets here in China.
80% of China's rural areas provide access to toilets. 60% provide toilets that can neutralize the harmful bacteria in fecal matters, but that still means the other 40% still don't have access to safe toilets. And also, the percentage of advanced toilets is higher in eastern coastal regions than in central and western China provinces. So we see this uneven distribution or uneven development across China, where maybe when you happen to be born or live in a very advanced part of the country, you have access to very healthy toilets, whereas if you were so unfortunate to live in some less developed parts of the country, chances are your odds of contracting certain diseases from unhealthy toilets are much higher than your fellow citizens in different parts of the country.
That is true. And when you look at Beijing, for example, that there has been this frenzy of building more public toilets, I suppose, and the municipal government has. Yeah, I remember seeing the news release time and time again. Every year it comes up a few times almost, that because the city is trying to house more people, mm-hmm. and especially when there's like major events happening, and it does, like
international events
every
and
year.
Also is a tourism city.
Yeah, and with the marathon that happens here in Beijing, and yeah, I remember one year the organization got a lot of flack because the runners didn't have enough places to go to go.
Do the number two.
Those kind of things, yeah. So yes, there's been more construction for the toilets, and also experts are calling for maybe sometimes you should build more toilets for women than for men, because there's always a bigger queue in front of the female toilet than the males.
This
and those kind
true.
Of things. Yes.
I was reading in a report that we're going to have toilets that can flush by voice.
Wow. So AI doing the business for you.
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Another invasion of the AI. You're listening to Roundtable.